The Common Good on KFSK is brought to you by the Petersburg Community Foundation, an affiliate of the Alaska Community Foundation. The Petersburg Community Foundation is devoted to improving the lives of the young, the elderly, and vulnerable populations, as well as creating recreation, education, and safety programs. The Petersburg Community Foundation, making grants to local nonprofits through a permanent endowment. More information at petersburgcf.org.
Good morning and welcome to The Common Good. This is Hannah Flora and you're listening to KFSK Petersburg. It's about 31 minutes past the hour of 8 o'clock and I am here in Studio One with Karen Dillman, Chris Weiss, and Pierre Riley. We're going to be talking about the Ephemeral Art Show, which is part of the Rainforest Festival. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here. I want to start off just by sort of establishing what is the Ephemeral Art Show. Can one of you... Karen, you have a look on your face. Do you want to start and tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. Well, it's an opportunity for individuals in the community to create something that is inspired by nature, something that they want to put out and have out for people to see, but it's something that is made with materials that will eventually decompose or just blow away, or it's kind of meant to be there for the moment. And it may only last an hour, it may last a few weeks. So that's what ephemeral means. It's not a lasting thing.
And so it is made almost entirely with things found in nature.
Mm-hmm. Or something that decomposes naturally rather than plastic or, basically plastic would be the only other thing, but something that people can find in their backyard, in the forest floor.
On the beach.
And then create a design in their own way.
And where did the idea for this art show come from?
It actually kind of started because of COVID and being in lockdown, and we wanted to have a place that people could still view art but not have to congregate in a small space. And so the first art show was really all over the island. There were pieces out the road, there were pieces everywhere, and so people could kind of just go and see them at their leisure.
Exactly. We had a map that people could follow, and so then it wasn't just wandering around. You kind of knew where to look, but you didn't have a lot more than that, so you kind of had to use your good senses to see, is this what they mean?
Right, because there was no indication of what it would look like. It was just a name, and so you kind of had to guess whether the thing you were looking at was the piece of art.
It was the general area, too, so you really had to kind of look, and
That was part of the fun.
That was part of the fun.
Sometimes it melts in very well.
Yeah, exactly.
And this started in 2020, and it was related to COVID, correct?
Well, there are ephemeral art projects out there in the world, and I think it just, but that was sort of our, like Chris said, it was something that, how can we just do things outside that is creative and people can go at their leisure? And it was just a difficult time for everybody. So we thought this would be a kind of a neat thing to focus on and not be worried about the pandemic so much.
Right. Get everybody outdoors and creating things. So I want to know, all three of you have made pieces multiple times.
Yes.
You're all making pieces for this year as well, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Pia has a "we'll see" look on her face.
I haven't started mine yet.
I'm curious how you come up with your ideas. Do you have a concrete idea, or do you just wander around looking at bits of nature and ideas flow from there?
I don't know. I think the first piece that I did was the driftwood thing, and that kind of had worked itself into my mind a little bit before that, and I wanted to build something really tall and stuff. But I think for me, at least, it kind of happens. Like right now, I have a little bit of an idea what I'm going to do, but I'm not sure that will happen. But
because you're not sure how the elements will come together, or you're just leaving yourself open to?
I'm leaving myself open a little bit. I usually do. Yeah,
it doesn't have to be real elaborate. I mean, I always look for, I kind of think about it as, what can I put together that'll stay together? Because I like to hang things. I'm a weaver. Oh, not a weaver. I'm a fiber artist. And so I like to do that kind of put together of things. And so I look for sticks first.
As a sort of base for the rest of it.
And what can I put in them? And then where can I hang it? Usually you can hang anything on a tree anywhere for a few days anyway. So,
yeah.
I know about Chris.
Well, last year, I mean, I had a pile of sticks, and so I started with a pile of sticks and kind of put them together for a bird.
Right.
That was waiting in one of the muskeg ponds.
Right. So, that's right.
And a little turtle, too. Yeah. Although we don't have turtles here. It took a while for people to find him, I guess.
They weren't looking for the turtles.
Turtles.
Are you testing things out to make sure that it's going to function, or are you just playing around as you go?
I kind of do, only because I want it to, I'm making it at home, so I want it to make it to the place. So I want it, if I pick it up, I want it to not fall apart in between where I made it to the spot where I'm putting it. Mm. So I do that instead of making it on site.
Okay.
So that's my mode, but other people can just bring their materials to the site and make it there.
And some people just look at the site and grab what they have around and make it. So some of it is very improv. And I think the Kinderskog kids are some of that.
They're masters at the improv.
Yes, they're masters at the improv.
Yeah. Well, that's right. Suzanne Fouquet did one last year, too, or the year before, of weaving grasses. And that was in sight. Like,
just
she couldn't have brought it.
Yeah.
She made it right there.
Beautiful, yeah. And I like the one that you and Marilyn did. The weaving thing.
Can you describe that one?
Oh, well,
it was made out of a burlap, because burlap is natural and it decomposes. So I took out all the certain strings of the burlap sack, and then we made it into a weaving of native materials and just hung it up
between two trees there.
Yeah, between two trees, and eventually the squirrels got into it, man. They just totally made nest material out of it.
And it was a feast for them.
You go there, you cannot see anything anymore. It's gone.
But then there was another one a little bit further up that people could actually participate in and add stuff to. Mm-hmm. And I like that.
That was a weaving as well. It was up on Raven's Trail.
That lasted quite a bit.
So someone could do that again if they liked it, as long as the material's not out of plastic, it'll eventually.
And that was a really interesting one, because for most of the pieces, you know, a lot of them were along Raven's Trail, and so if you hiked up there regularly, you would see them degrading over time, like they were supposed to. But then the piece that was meant for the public to add to sort of went in the opposite direction. You know, everything else was degrading over time, and this one was being added over time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was a fun contrast.
That's true. Almost took like a year. It was like, didn't it make it through the winter? And next, because I think it had, it was stronger wool that it was made out of or something versus burlap.
And so that first year, Kelly Bakus, a filmmaker here in Petersburg, followed, I think, everybody who participated and created her film Ephemeral, which I had not watched until last night. But I was really struck by a lot of different people in the film talked about the way that they prepared for their pieces involved wandering around and looking at things. And it hadn't occurred to me that the process of making ephemeral art was more than just the process of putting it together. But it sounded like the looking for things beforehand was a huge part of what people enjoyed.
Yes, because you are working with something not that you usually don't work with. And so it's like, oh, I saw that over there. What could I do with that?
So the constraint that it be something from the land or something that will degrade kind of adds to the creativity.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
And then find a spot, a good spot. Uh-huh. For me, that's kind of how it was, too.
Yeah, you look at driftwood, for example.
I had to go out the road a little bit to find driftwood, because you don't find much on Sandy Beach.
Will you tell us about that piece?
Yeah, it was kind of like almost like a triangle, and I had thought that I was going to build it up really high, but it didn't get very high. But
is that because you were looking for driftwood and you couldn't find it?
Well, I did find a lot, and I packed it into my car and I took it into town. But then I started to do something else. I used the grasses at the spot, mm-hmm. and I kind of made little nests, round things that I kind of twisted around, sort of made little nests, and then I put rocks that I also found in that area in the nest, so mm-hmm. to speak. So I kind of, it became a different idea all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm. And those were nestled into the driftwood logs.
Yeah, I was sitting in a different spots in the driftwood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Was that just instinct? You were there at the spot and you were like,
yes,
mm-hmm. Look at this grass.
Yeah.
I think that's what's fun about it. There's no inhibition, don't have inhibition about
no.
it.
No, right. Yeah. And that's kind of how it works for me anyway, many times.
Mm-hmm.
Just spur of the moment. Yeah.
Is there less inhibition than if you're making something that's going to last forever?
I think so.
Yeah.
And forever is still not forever.
Right. Forever is still not forever.
Right. Yeah. It's definitely that way. Mm-hmm. You just say, oh, well, that's part of it.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So you get to play around a little bit more.
And you know already that it's going to go away, no matter how attached you are to it, mm-hmm. you still know that it's going away.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay.
Do you ever want to find a way to keep, you make something that you really, really love and you wonder if you can find a way to make it last?
Not necessarily.
I think it's part of it is to know that it is going away, that makes it even better to make it going, this is now and mm-hmm. never more.
Mm-hmm.
It's just...
It's a different mindset that you have to be in.
Yeah,
but
don't get attached to your creation. Because some kids, how kids grow up and they do get attached to their art that they make. And if it falls in the puddle, they get pretty upset.
Or if they find it in the recycling bin.
Yeah.
Speak from experience.
Right. So it's a good, I think, the Kinderskog were involved in it. And I thought that was so great that the freedom they had to be creative and know that it was going to get washed away. And
mm-hmm.
so I think that's, and so kids are welcome in this event
definitely.
For sure. I mean, they're almost mm-hmm.
they seem
so
like real
much
naturals
part of it.
With,
yeah.
with this project.
Yeah.
I'm wondering about not just thinking about location, but also weather and other factors. I'm thinking specifically about the piece that you and Marilyn Mucci hung up on the trail, on Raven's Trail, that, is hung up at about head height. And then I walked up that trail when it had just been raining and then the sun had come out. And so there were little droplets all over it. And it was hung up at an angle that was just the right angle for the sun to shine through from the south. And I thought, I wonder if she planned this. So I'm curious about thinking about how things are going to react with, Sunny Rice also talked about she made these knitted spider webs that she hung up in a tree, and she was really hoping that the dew would settle on it. So I'm wondering about thinking about interactions with nature and how things are going to interact with weather and conditions.
I, for one, did not plan on the sun's beaming through the waving.
Well, it was magical.
It probably was really raining beautiful. When I hung it up, first of all. So I don't think there's that much thought into that.
Yeah, I guess it would depend.
Wind, maybe?
Yeah,
like if you want to have something blowing around?
I had the shells hanging, and they would make noise in the wind.
Yes.
So.
That was very nice.
If you had that, you wouldn't want to put it in the forest necessarily, but out in the open. So there's... Yeah, so there's different habitats. Yeah, you learn kind of that too, just thinking about it, like mm-hmm. something that'll decompose quicker maybe in a wetter spot versus a more stable spot.
Mm-hmm.
It's all very different.
Yeah. So the Rainforest Festival has switched. It used to be just in the fall. Now it is kind of all year long. And so the first couple, I think, if I'm remembering right, the first couple of these ephemeral art shows were in the fall. And now they are the last two this year and the year before. I may have those dates wrong. Are in June, which is a totally different time of year to play around with bits of nature. Was that intentional?
That was intentional. There's so much more that you can use at this time of year as far as flowers and things like that than in the fall. In the fall, things are starting to Sinesse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I guess your art will go a lot faster in the fall. We might last till July now. So, yeah.
It was more ephemeral before.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I want to talk just a little bit about the Rainforest Festival and the choice to make it into a full year-round festival. Can you tell me a little bit about how you pivoted from just the September Festival into the year-round?
Well, I mean, we always had events that were kind of off the fall time. Mm-hmm. But as we, you know, have done it for 15 years in the fall, we always thought, oh, I wish we could do something about migratory birds, but that's in the spring. Oh, what about, you know, foraging for native plants that come up in the spring? Well, that's in the spring, you know. So It just sort of evolved. And I think during COVID, too, we sort of were trying to be more creative and being outside a lot more. And it just sort of, we voted on it and just talked about it. And yeah, everything's kind of, It was so condensed in the fall, and it was hard for school kids to participate and, you know, teachers and...
Right, yeah. And there were so many other things going on in fall also, other festivals, and so people that we might want to come here for our festival were busy at other festivals and other things. Yeah. So we thought if we could spread it through the year, then we might be able to get more people coming in that wouldn't be able to at that time of year. So
that's a good point. Mm-hmm. Yeah, guest speakers and just being opportunistic of who we know might be coming through town that we could snag.
And it seems like there's room for all sorts of changes. They, the Ephemeral Art Show is now partnering with the Moving Music Series, which also came out of COVID, ways for people to go out and hear music outdoors, having to be inside. So if I understand correctly, this year it's going to be over the Hungry Point Trail, and there will be ephemeral art pieces and then also musicians.
Yes, and it'll be on June 17th, it's a Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. And there will be posters coming out shortly and more ads coming out shortly. They will have a QR code to list who the artists and performers are. And we'll just keep updating that so people can look at that to see who's performing. Mm-hmm. And hopefully we'll be able to have a little map and kind of point out where some of the things are.
Yeah.
Right now we do have a list of performers. We don't have a list of the artists yet or where things will be.
So if you are interested in ephemeral art, you can still...
Oh,
join
yes.
The, join
you can
the
still
project.
Join the project. I did get a call the other day, and they're going to go out looking at sites, and so that's fun. Exciting.
Yeah.
New people, so that's even more exciting.
Yeah. And I got a note that was passed to me here from somebody in the station that Alec McMurrin called in and wanted to note that there is nothing more ephemeral than live music.
Oh, that's
a very a lovely point that this is such a good marriage of the music with the ephemeral art.
Yeah.
And I also really love the fact that sometimes when you are out on the trails and you're looking for the art, kind of sometimes it's hard to find, which gives it a sort of treasure hunt feel. Mm-hmm. And seems like it goes really well with the ephemeral nature of the art, where, you know, you might not find it at all, and you might find it in a completely different state than
right.
it was when it was
right.
made.
And
so.
That's true.
Yeah, that's why we encourage the artists to take a photo of it in situ,
right.
as they install it, so that we have the before.
Yeah, and I always try to go on the very first day, but it is also fun to go repeatedly, mm-hmm. and some of them degrade super fast. And then we were talking about this before the mics were on. Mm-hmm. Chris, you had a couple pieces that mm-hmm. lasted a day or so.
Well, overnight at least.
And I went out looking and I couldn't find them. And then Pia, that same year, you had a piece that lasted for months, right?
Well, not months, but a few weeks, three weeks, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you get to see all different stages of
Yeah. And the one that I was telling you about, that the tree actually that we worked on fell over.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah.
So it's no longer even standing anymore. And it was only like a few months because I was real curious of what it was going to look like. And I literally could not find the tree. And here it was in the grass.
It is. It's a really fun way to mark time. And
it is.
I'm curious about your own reactions to seeing other people's ephemeral art when you're wandering around and looking at it. I found it to be a little bit emotional at times because there's such a there is such a intense marking of the changing of time. It feels a little bit like being a parent and watching your kid grow up and having to face the fact that time is definitely passing by.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess when I look at some of it, it's I just think it's amazing the patterns and, you know, the minds that could manipulate all the nature into a pattern that we can appreciate, even beyond nature, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
Extension.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think it's inspiring, too, in a way, you know, to see all this other people who have created things that there's people that I didn't know was even interested.
Mm-hmm.
They surprised me, which is really nice. And it inspired me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like also how groups work together on it, like parent and child or families. I think that's really beautiful. And they'll always remember that child. So I think that's part of it that's really special if people can do that with their kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and kids are so good at finding treasures in nature.
Definitely.
And often collecting them. And, you know, you could probably make an entire ephemeral art show out of the things that you find in your kids' pockets. So, yeah.
They could do it in their own yard.
Yeah.
Inspired to keep making them.
Yeah. So if folks are interested in joining the ephemeral art show or the moving music series, how do they get a hold of, did they get a hold of you, Chris?
For the art, and I meant to put Sarah C's number down for music, but for me, I'm hoping to get the artists letting me know what they're going to do and where they plan to be by June 14th, which is Wednesday, before the art show on Saturday. And I'm doing that mainly so that hopefully we can do a little bit of a map and have that available for people. But if you can't get to me by that time, it doesn't mean that you're totally out of it. Just contact us if at the last minute you go, oh, I can run out there and do something. We would like the art installed by noon on the day of, of the art show and walk and music. And that's pretty much it. If you want to get in contact with me, I'm using my work number right now. It is 907-772-3349, extension 3, and please do go to the extension. That way I can pick up those messages, because right now we're having problems transferring things between phones. So please just go directly to that.
Okay, and I managed to find Sarah Hansen-Hofstetter's number. If you are interested in participating in the moving music aspect of this event, you can call her at 907-978-6365 and arrange locations with her.
Also about locations, Chris, and everyone. So we will have the QR code, like you said, on the poster. And if you don't know what that is, you just hold your phone up to it with your camera, right? And it'll pop up.
Yep.
But then we'll have it on our website. We'll have our schedule on the website, do you think? Or?
Well, the QR code goes to our website.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. So, but if you don't, but if you don't have that,
you can go to the website.
Which is?
Uh-oh, it's a test.
AKRainforestFest.org.
AKRainforestFest.org. All right.
Yes.
You can find all the locations.
We'll probably post it on Facebook as well.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
All right.
So hopefully people can find it if they really want it.
I'm looking forward to seeing what you guys all come up with.
Thanks for having us today.
Yeah, thanks for coming in.
The Common Good on KFSK is brought to you by the Petersburg Community Foundation, an affiliate of the Alaska Community Foundation. The Petersburg Community Foundation is devoted to improving the lives of the young, the elderly, and vulnerable populations, as well as creating recreation, education, and safety programs. The Petersburg Community Foundation, making grants to local nonprofits through a permanent endowment. More information at petersburgcf.org.